Verse number 1. John chapter 17 and verse 1. The Bible says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Verse 3, our scripture text this morning, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." I want to read verse 3 one more time, and then we'll pray. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you for the privilege to be in your house. As this is Father's Day, we ask you to bless each man here one more time. Give us strength through the remainder of this day. We give you glory in Jesus' name. The church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take this phrase where Jesus here is praying to his Father, and he says, "This is life eternal." A lot in the Bible, and for sure in the Gospels, begins to tell us about eternal life, an everlasting life. What is everlasting life? How do we obtain everlasting life? That is the cry of every man. How do we make it to heaven? How do we live forever? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And here it is right here. This is life eternal. I want to take verse 3 for a little while, if the Lord will help me, and try to preach to you from that phrase, "This is life eternal." Life eternal is a relationship with God, or comes from a relationship with God. He said, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Salvation comes, amen, and is produced through a relationship with God. It's not achieved by some type of work or deed that is done. The Bible says we're saved through faith, saved by faith through grace in Ephesians chapter 2, and not of works. Amen. Saved through grace by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not some deed that we do. It is a relationship with God. That is the difference between relationship and religion. Any man can be religious and any man can have religion, but it's different to have a relationship with God. And it is God's will that he walks with man and lives with man. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, amen, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." We will have a relationship with God if we allow the Lord in. I would like to preach to us this morning about this life eternal. Isn't it our desire to have life eternal? Isn't it the desire of every man? Surely it is the desire of every man. Doesn't matter how young you are today, I hope that you're thinking of eternity, because there will come a day when we'll all be in eternity. We don't know when that day will come. None of us know. But there is life eternal that Jesus Christ has offered to every man, and it comes through knowing God. It comes through knowing the only true God. We could say we know him, The devils know him also, but they're not saved. I'm talking about a close relationship with God. I'm talking about walking with God, like Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. The Bible says after they had sinned, and after they had disobeyed God, that God came and called Adam and said, "Adam, where art thou?" God knew where Adam was. He wanted to know if Adam knew where Adam was. Lord, help us today. Lord, help us to receive your word this morning. I pray that you help us, Lord, and have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you guys know I'm up here preaching. I can't run the air or the heat or nothing like that, but I know that y'all can. And I know it's hot outside and get hot in here, and so I expect you guys to take care of that for me, all right? Y'all still with me? Thank you. This is life eternal, that they may know the only true God. Eternal life. Now, when people start freezing and icicles start falling off their nose, I hope I don't have to stop and say something about that too, all right? Relationship with God. Where art thou, Adam? God's looking for man. God is looking for man even today. He's searching. There's a song that says, "I'm so glad he found me." Ain't you glad that he found you? I'm so glad that he found me. And in love he bound me, and he put his arms around me. God help us to know, amen, that life eternal comes through knowing God, and God is looking for us. Isn't this something where Jesus said, "Thou hast given him power over all flesh"? God gave Jesus power over all flesh. Man, I wish some people would realize that. God has the power over all flesh. He told Pilate when he stood before Pilate, Pilate said, "Don't you realize that I have the power to let you go and I have the power to kill you?" Jesus said, "You don't have no power at all unless my Father gives it to you." The very breath that we breathe is right in God's hand. We think we can do whatever we want to. King Herod was there, and all those people came into Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was an amazing thing at that time, and Herod was up on his throne, and all this was going on, and Herod spoke out, and all these people from this other land said, "It is the voice of a God. It is the voice of a God." They began to worship Herod, and immediately, because he gave not glory to God, the Bible says God smote him. Amen. And he gave up the ghost, and worms ate him from the inside. God controls all flesh, and he gives eternal life unto us, amen, that know him. A relationship with God is where eternal life comes in. Many times we think, well, we've got eternal life because our name's on the roll at the church. We're automatically going to heaven because our parents was Christians. We're automatically going to heaven because we is baptized. We're automatically going to heaven because all kinds of reasons man has come up with that we're going to, you know, have life eternal. But Jesus says very plainly in our scripture text that this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, the only true God. I know there's many gods in this day and hour. We live in a society where man is his own God. Where man does what he wants to do. Nobody tells him anything different. Man is his own God. And that is a setup for the Antichrist kingdom. Because in the Antichrist kingdom, the world will worship a living man. And for the most part, in this day and hour, for the most part, amen, most religions worship a man that has already passed, if it was a man, or worship some idol that they have created up in their own mind or carved out with their own hands. But the day will come when this world will worship a living man and will worship images of this living man, and we are setting up for that, and we are creating an ideology that we can do what we want to do, and we worship ourselves. That will be a large push in the Antichrist, amen, agenda, and it's already alive in this world today. It's just that there's God is having grace and holding back that force, but many gods that man worships and has worshiped through the ages. Hallelujah. The Bible here says that life is eternal is to know the only true God. He is the only true God. There may be many gods, but He is the only true God. And God is the only one that is God. Everything else will bow to Him. Every knee will bow to Him. And every tongue will confess that He is the Lord and that He is God Almighty. Eternal life is knowing that He is the only true God. It seems like we live in a day and hour, amen, where the enemy wants to try to pressure society to accept everything. Nothing's wrong. That's just your idea. And I'm telling you, God is the only God, and that's the only way to life eternal. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. It's no other way. There is no other way to life eternal. There is no other road. There is no other access to God. Amen. There is no other access to eternal life than through Jesus Christ. Just because you believe it, and just because man believes it, does it make it true? Just because it's taught, or just because it's followed, doesn't make it true. I can say all day long that this is a red coat. Amen. I can convince myself this is a red coat, but it doesn't mean that it's a red coat. I can even be colorblind and think it's a red coat, but it's not a red coat. And people can believe and teach, amen, all types of false religions and false gods and false ways. And people can believe it and the whole world may follow it, but it doesn't make it the truth. There is only one true God. And the way to life eternal is to have a relationship with Him, to walk with Him, amen, to let Him live in our life, to let Him control us, to let Him be what He needs to be for us, amen, to let Him lead us and guide us, for us to worship Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. Amen. The only true God. When Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, amen, God told Moses, said, if he don't let you go, said, take that rod and throw it down of Aaron's, throw it down there before Pharaoh. The Bible says that Moses took that rod and threw it down, Aaron, it became a serpent. He called the magicians in, and they began there to this war. There started a war. I want you to know there's a war going on today. Amen. There's wars going on in this world. I know we're talking about guns and terrorists and, amen, military and nuclear bombs, but there's a war that's behind that war. And that's a war of good and evil. Amen. And every terrorist, amen, and every bomb that's dropped, amen, and every warship that goes and fights, and every boot that hits the ground, amen, it's for one single cause, and that is for good and evil. There's an evil that hates man. There's an evil that hates mankind. He wants to destroy man, because every time he looks at man, he sees God, because man was made in the image and likeness of God. Amen. And not only that, but man has access to salvation. Amen. The devil doesn't have access to salvation. And every
angelic being that he took when he strung his tail, amen, and took one third of the angels down with him, amen, have no access, amen, to redemption, but they are reserved in chains of darkness forever and ever, amen, and therefore there's this warfare going on. It's called the battle of the gods. It's God Almighty and then thousands and millions of other gods that want to rise up in the ideal of man, in the thoughts of man, amen, but truly there is only one true God, and that is the way to life eternal, is knowing that there's only one true God.
I know that you probably know this, but there was 10 plagues brought upon Egypt that day, or at that time, starting with the Nile River. Many signs and wonders. God is amazing God, and he controls man. And if we would pay attention to nature, and if we would pay attention to our lives, we would see the hand of God moving in everything. Amen. You think it's just happen chance. It's not happen chance. It's the hand of God bringing the goodness of God into your life, leading you to repentance, blessing you, helping you. Say, well, it's bad luck. It's not bad luck, friend. Is there a praying mom or a praying daddy or a praying preacher or a praying neighbor? Amen. Trying to reach you. It's God knocking at your door, sending storms into your life, saying, wake up. But here they start. Amen. Egypt worshiped many gods. They worshiped all kinds of things in those days. And God told Moses, he said, I will be exalted above all their gods. So he starts out with the Nile River. This God, if I say it right, Happy, or H-A-P-I, Happy maybe. This was this goddess or God that they worshipped. And actually, there was a large city in Egypt at that time. It was 4 miles wide and like 2 miles long. It was a very large city for that day, and it was called Memphis. And it was full of temples, and archaeologists have dug and found temples after temples and goddesses and all these idols. But there was a temple in that city, that capital city of Egypt at that time, and the Nile River God. Amen. The Nile River would flow right through Egypt, they say. Amen. Archaeologists would say that if it wasn't for the Nile River in that day, that Egypt would have been a total desert, because Egypt never got rain. And God got that God again later. There was another God, the sky God, when he sent the hail, but the Nile River would overflow its banks, and they would irrigate, and Egypt had all types of irrigation system, amen, in Memphis, and they would bring it out and water that land, and it became a very fruitful valley, all because of the Nile River. And God said, let my people go, or I'll turn that Nile River into blood. And the Bible says that he wouldn't, and God said, Moses, stretch out your rod. He stretched out his rod, and the Nile River became blood, amen. And the Egyptian magicians, they went out there and stretched their rods out, and they turned water into blood too. Amen. And here Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He wouldn't let them go. He said, okay, frogs. They had this goddess of a frog. It had a human body and a frog head. The Egyptians was not allowed to kill a frog. Can you imagine that? Don't go to Egypt and order frog legs, because I don't care what they tell you, it's chicken. I remember me and Sister Bethany got married, and I come down here somewhere, I don't know, out there in Lakeport or something. I went out there and ordered frog legs. And for some reason, she lost her appetite. They said, stretch out that rod. Frogs came everywhere. Frogs. They had this goddess that they worshipped, the frogs. I almost think God had a sense of humor. So you may like frogs at the Nile River, but do you like frogs in your bed? Do you like frogs in your suit? I mean frogs everywhere. Frogs everywhere.
everywhere. Not only that, Pharaoh said, okay, let them go. And he said, all right. He stretched out his rod and the frogs died. They just died where they were. They just died. Had to gather them in heaps. The Bible said the whole land stunk. Woo!
I know y'all are hungry this morning, but I mean, you drive by that old dead armadillo and man, throw down the windows. Can you imagine piles of frogs stinking everywhere? God is battling their gods. The next one was lice. This is the first three plagues the Egyptian magicians was able to duplicate. But when it came to this third one, lice, after that, none of the Egyptian magicians could duplicate them or could do it. Amen. And many times because they were suffering. Listen to these. These are the plagues. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, murrain on cattle, bulls on man, hail. Amen. Hail coming down from the sky, locust. Amen. Then darkness and then finally the firstborn. Listen, I'm going to move on and tell you their gods. This God that they worshipped of lice. The Bible says if you notice that the dust and the earth became lice. Amen. What it was is there was a god or a goddess, amen, named Geb, G-E-B, who was the earth god, and the Egyptians worshipped him, amen, and he was to protect the earth and keep the earth from hurting them, amen, but the lice broke loose, and the dirt became lice on man, and so their god shamed their god again. The flies, amen, the Egyptians would take this fly, and this is interesting to me because of this message I'm preaching this morning about this is life eternal. The Egyptians believe that these flies, or many archaeologists believe, because in most of those tombs, in those ancient tombs, they would find golden flies, or like a bug, and I know that they worship beetles, and they actually had a fly god or a beetle god, what we would consider it. Amen. But it would fly and go around, and these flies would. And it's I can't pronounce its name, but it was K-H-E-P-A-R-A. You know, Kehepara or something like that, this beetle god. Y'all want to try to pronounce it? I spelled it out for you. Tell me what it says. I'm fine with that. But the Egyptians would worship this god. And they believed that this little bug would give them life eternal. Ain't that crazy? Amen. But think about some of the crazy things we believe today and some of the nonsense we go to. Amen. People will go. Amen. The palm readers. Amen. They'll read all types of horoscopes and different things and try to plan their life according to a bunch of nonsense. Amen. And you know what God has to do? He has to tear down those gods to show himself. And so here this beetle god, the murrain on the cattle, amen, Apis. There was a black bull that they worshipped that was supposed to bless their cattle. The Egyptians was cattlemen. Amen. And it was to bless their cattle. Bulls on man. Amen. The first, amen, four plagues. God has touched the river, the frogs. Amen. All of this. And lice came on man, yes. Amen. But all of a sudden, these bulls, the Bible uses the word ulcer, would break out on the skin of man. What was it God was doing? Did you know that in Egyptian culture, a man could not be a priest or get near the temple if he had any blemish on his body? You have a pimple that day, but you ain't opening the doors of the church and you ain't coming in. And so I want to tell you, brother, when God smote all of those men with bulls, all of a sudden there wasn't no temple bells ringing. I mean, they was closed shop. Nobody could go pray. Nobody could go worship. All the doors stood locked. And God said, I'm going to reach farther and I'm going to make you suffer. You know, it's a shame when we turn our back on God, on how we suffer so many times. Amen. If we would just give ourselves over to the Lord. Amen. The next one was the sky goddess. His name or her name was actually Isis. Don't nobody run out today, but Isis. Amen. Isis. You know, I want to tell you something, whether they want to admit it or not. Amen. But many of those gods that people serve even today, and many terrorist organizations have roots far back into ancient heathenistic, amen, cultures.
stars and the sky goddess, and then the locust came. Amen. Here came this locust. They worshiped all kinds of insects and birds. Amen. Wasn't allowed to kill them. You know, Egypt in that day didn't hardly have no locusts, like a grasshopper type thing. Amen. The Bible said that an east wind brought them. Amen. He brought them over the sea from the east wind. You talking about some hungry bugs. Amen. They didn't crawl out that morning. No, they was hungry. They was ready to come. Amen. They ate. And then lastly, darkness. Amen. Came God, judged their sun god, Ra. Amen. That they worshipped. Amen. And then finally, the firstborn. Amen. Egyptian culture had that every firstborn child was given to the temple service. Amen. And became a priest. Did you know that God killed every one of their priests? Every one of their priests was killed. When the Israelites walked out of Egypt, there wasn't a priest one. Every one of them was dead. My God. I'm talking about the only true God. Pharaoh called Moses. He said, get out of here. Hallelujah. God told Moses, said, tell the people, said, when you go, said, borrow everything. Said, you know, get, and everybody was so ready for him to go. They gave him everything. They were so ready for him to leave. What was it? God was battling their gods. Now let me stop right here. I know we're not in Egypt. Amen. And you might not be wanting to go through a history lesson, and I may not be, amen, the best history teacher, but let me ask you a question. How will you suffer if God starts tearing down your gods? Your God of greed, your God of covetousness, your God of pride, your God of selfishness, your God of all these things, he has to tear it down to prove that he is the only true God. Amen. This is life eternal. Life eternal is worshiping the only true God. We live in a wicked day and hour. Amen. We worship the creature more than the creator, as they did in Romans chapter 1. Paul said, talking about homosexuality, amen, lust burning between men going to men, women going to women. He said they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. The Bible said, though they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Therefore, God gave them over to vile affections. Amen. And their normal thought process changed. I want to tell you something. Amen. In the United States of America, amen, godly grandmas and godly grandpas that have already gone on to glory are looking down on their descendants, amen, who knew God and should have known to live right, amen, but now they're living a horrible lifestyle of sin, amen, and they're not going to go to heaven, not going to have eternal life. Eternal life comes through worshiping the only true God. Doesn't matter if it's some God we've made up, or however it is. Amen. Eternal life. Life eternal is a relationship with God. Walking with God. Living for God. Amen. Having God in our life. Supping with us. Amen. Entertaining us. Glorifying his life through us. He is the only true God. It is Jesus Christ's desire to show himself to every individual. Man, woman, boy, or girl. He longs to show himself strong. He longs to prove himself real. Amen. The Bible said that Saul, amen, was going down to Damascus, and a light shined from heaven. You know the story. Amen. A light shined from heaven, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Amen. It's hard to go against the grain of God. It's hard for God, amen, to try to get our attention and us not listen. You know what that means, kick against the pricks. Amen. They'd take those beasts or those plow mules or whatever, oxen. Amen. And they would kick back, and they'd kick back toward the wagon or the plows. Amen. And that driver would have a stick. Amen. With long prongs on the end. Amen. Like a cane pole or something like that, real light. And when that old beast would start kicking, he'd take them pricks. Amen. And put them back there. He didn't know they was there. Amen. That old beast didn't know they was there. And he'd take those pricks and pour them down there. And when they would put those whips down on that beast, oxen or mule, whatever, he'd kick, those pricks would be right there. And man, he'd kick right into them pricks. Amen. He'd realize, oh, I don't want to do that very much. Amen. And that's the way they'd train them, to keep them from kicking the wagon. Amen. And kicking other things. Amen. And sometimes God has to put the pricks down on us and say, I've got a way for you to go. I've got a path for you to trod. I've got a load for you to pull. Amen. And every time the whip comes down on us, we want to let that old self rise up and kick back and say, who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? Who are you to know? But let me tell you, Jesus said, Saul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, I wish we'd realize today we ain't hurting. Amen. We're hurting ourselves the most. Amen. We're hurting our family the most. We're hurting our marriage the most. We're hurting ourselves the most. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, Saul. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. This is life eternal, that we would know the only true God and Jesus Christ. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Isn't that wonderful? Those disciples, brother, thought they was all alone. But Jesus said, I'm being persecuted. Amen. When you suffer, Jesus suffers. Amen. When you're persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. But back to the message, he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Amen. He wanted to show himself. I think about a time when I was a 9-year-old boy. Amen. On a Wednesday night. Amen. I was raised in a preacher's home. Amen. I had lived, amen, a godly life as far as I knew. But I was lost without God. I did not have life eternal. I didn't know God. Amen. 9 years old, my dad preached. I can't tell you what he preached that day in McCurtain County, Oklahoma. I can't tell you the message. I can't tell you the songs. Did they sing Amazing Grace? I don't know. But I do know that something to heart that night, and I made it down to the altar. Amen. And he showed himself to me. He said, like he said to Saul, I am Jesus. And they sang before Sunday school, since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Y'all ain't getting this morning. Amen. But life eternal, I know that my name is written there because he saved me. And like one person said, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. He changed my life. He changed my thoughts. He saved me. And now I know that I have life eternal. I don't have life eternal because my dad was a preacher, or is a preacher. I don't have life eternal because my mom and dad took me to church. I don't have life eternal for no other reason than I know who he is. There's a relationship with him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm out of time this morning. I'm simply preaching on, this is life eternal. What is? What's life eternal? Come down the altar, say 12 words, cry 5 tears, get up and walk out, you know, quit drinking, quit partying, quit smoking, quit chewing, quit cussing. No, that's not life eternal. That's good living. That's not life eternal. Life eternal is knowing God and having a relationship with him and walking with him and living for him, letting God have his way in our life. Hallelujah. Knowing him, not just knowing of him. Amen. You say, who's the president of the United States? I know. If he walked in today, I would know. We would know. Amen. But do I know him? No, I don't know him. And then who's this great man, or who's that? Who's this one? Who's that? Do we know him? Yeah, we know him, but do we know him? We know God. We know Jesus. We know about him. But do we know him? Do we know him in a personal way? God wants to show himself to us today. Amen. It's so easy for us to be blinded and for us not to have a relationship with God. Life eternal. Sister Bethany's coming to play. The church will stand with me this morning. I'm preaching this morning on "This Is Life Eternal." This is life eternal. The song says, "He came to me." Another song said, "I was going down for the last time. No one heard my cry. My voice was swiftly fading. I was drifting with the tide. Then a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped in mine. And I thank God he found me just in time." You're here this morning and you're not right with God. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'd like to reach for you this morning. God's not giving out packages of candy or get out of jail free card or nothing like that. No. He's calling you to a relationship with him. He's calling you to a life where you can live for God. There's power and there's strength to overcome sin and withstand temptation along with it. But you're not right with God this morning. You know you're not right with God. You're not saved, and you lift your hand and you say, "Brother Sam, pray for me. Pray that God will help me." Yes, sir, I see that hand. Somebody else, slip it up, slip it down. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. No one looking around, please. Just slip your hand up and slip it down. You have to hold it up. Just, "Brother Sam, pray for me." Yes, sir, I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else this morning? Slip your hand up and say, "God, help me. Brother Sam, pray for me. Not right with God." Yes, son. God sees that hand. He wants to help you, son. He loves you. God help you. God help you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else this morning? Life eternal. Eternal life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's those that raise their hand that want to come pray. I want to pray with you. Come on. I want to pray with you this morning. Brothers that's here, you're not right with God this morning. You want to pray.